Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael. I work as the youth director at Lake Berean Presbyterian Church. I'm joined this morning with three friends, folks who I hope would also consider me a friend to some degree. Maybe not a close friend, but a friend to some degree. Three folks who do great community work in the city of Berean and some in other places in South King County. I'm wondering if y'all could take maybe just the next few minutes to introduce yourselves, you sharing your name, your pronouns, the people you feel like you represent and bring to the table with you, as well as, you know, what do you spend most of your time doing in Berean? You know, what are you thinking about most of the time?
Hi, everyone. My name is Cesar Linares. My pronouns are he, him, his. My people that I think about when I'm doing the work that I'm doing, I think about the Latino, Latina, Latinx community. I think about the young people living here in Berean. I think about persons like yourself, Michael Juan, Josefina, Roxana, persons in nonprofits that that I have been connected to, and also the faith communities. And what I have found myself doing a lot is been doing organizing work. I have been doing my best to connect one-to-one with folks in the community, and specifically working around housing, working around education, and with Michael working around like how do we create spaces for young people. And so there's definitely some work in progress, and that's me.
Hey everyone, buenos dias. I'm Roxana Pardo Garcia. She, her, they, them pronouns. The folks that I bring with me when I do work, first and foremost, my ancestors, the people that guide me to be in this work, and in this struggle, really. when I think about other folks, you know, communities that I'm connected to, definitely the Latinx community of Berean, the Highland Service area of South King County, but also beyond there, like Black, Brown, Indigenous folks, folks who are queer, trans, non-binary, folks who are living in poverty, folks who are struggling. I feel like I'm connected to a lot of young professionals as well, folks who are recently grads from institutions who are trying to figure out how to navigate their post-college lives. In addition to young people, I've always loved working with young people. They're definitely a group that I enjoy and that I'm inspired from, and that hold me accountable to this work and to my own personal journey. In terms of kind of the topics in which I think they range, but to me, when I think about the work in Berean, I think about how do we shift to a place where we can be spiritually sound and spiritually healthy so that we can take on the work of shifting the cultural paradigms of our society? Because I feel like this pandemic has really put us in a place of like, we need to live in a different world. And so how do we prepare ourselves emotionally, spiritually, physically, communally to start making those cultural shifts, to start living different? Because the world that we existed in is not sustainable. It is not just, it is not peace. And so how do we start to shift? And that's a lot of the questions I ask myself in my own work is, how do we start to shift? How do we get people comfortable enough to be in a place of like, all right, we need to start moving in a different direction?
Hi, everyone. My name is Josefina Lisa Gonzalez. Pronouns are they, them, ella. For me, the folks that I bring into or think about in the space is the youth that I connect with on a daily, whether that is Berean specific or other school districts that I support and help. Similar to what Roxana shared, like folks who are in the same field as me, who are trying to navigate like, okay, where do we go from here? We are in a pandemic, so how can we change our programming to best support the families, the Latino families, right? The Latinx families who, along with many other marginalized folks, are experiencing a lot of hardship at this time. And I guess, I think you shared like, what do I think about in my free time? And so for me is connecting with community organizers and try to really envision and find a way to live in a world where we can all just be well. And so that's what I usually think. So just certain questions come about, you know, podcasts, things like that.
Yeah. So the passage for this morning was John 15, 9 through 17. That was already read at this point. In relationship to the passage, the overarching quote, Lake B, that our nation is exploring in this season is the question of what makes for peace. We would all agree when we think about this question of what makes for peace in our community, that one crucial thing that makes for peace, I think, is justice. Today, I really would like to draw on this idea of friendship. You know, in this passage, we see Jesus naming a few different things quite differently. It's love and friendship. And I'm drawn to this idea of friendship, of relationships that require a level of investment and accountability. I'm wondering if we could explore that a bit today. So I'm wondering, as you think about the work that you all do, the organizing that you do, just the involvement that you have with community and different community partners, you know, how do you see friendship? How do you see invested, committed relationships as being a key part of working for justice and equity in our city, in our neighborhood?
So I'm actually reading the passage in the line that comes up that like was like, huh, that kind of that could resonate is line 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. And I think about that in relationship to the function of like white supremacy and like racism and how, you know, colonization has taught us that leaders, that people at the front of movements are to not be connected to the people who are suffering in the movement. That people who have power and authority, their comfort need not be disturbed. It reminds me of like that, you know, we're all, I think all of us on this call are tagged as being community leaders. It is not something I don't think that any of us self-identify as, but more have been identified as. And I think that's because of the relationships that all of us have in community. And they're coming from a place of being transparent and not from a place of wanting to hold power over one another. Because I feel like when you do have relationships with people, you know them, right? You know what they like, what they dislike, you know their happiness, you know what brings them peace, you know what makes them mad, you know what rouses them up, right? And I think that at the core of all of the relationships that we hold, we want to see each other joyful and we want to see each other healthy and we want to see each other being within safety, right? But then whatever, how we ever personally define safety. And so I think that line really stuck out to me because it's like, yeah, this is not it's not about me withholding information or gatekeeping information. This is about me sharing. It's about sharing power. It's about sharing information. It's about being transparent, right? Even when it's really hard to be transparent, right? Because, you know, the system operates the way it does. And sometimes we want to protect our community from like the system and the institution and how it operates. But we also have to be honest with them about what are the limitations in which we're interacting with outside of ourselves. And so that's when I think about like relationships and movement building that, again, it's not about gatekeeping. It's not about keeping, you know, it's about sharing. It's about sharing knowledge. It's also about being vulnerable. I think that, you know, this work is incredibly tough and there are hard days. And I hope that we share in the hard days as much as we share in the joyful days.
The first thing that came to mind was being vulnerable, right? Especially during this time of being a pandemic, like at times it can be, it's tough to be like, yeah, I'm actually not having a good day, you know, in my virtual world, being isolated at home. And, you know, at the receiving side, how can a friend, you know, support me in that sense, right? And of course, kind of like what Sam said, like, if you're my friend, you would know, right? And if you don't, that's okay, right? It's all about asking questions and communicating and being vulnerable in the sense that like, hey, I actually don't know the side about you. How can we, how can we talk about it a little bit? How can I support you and help you? That's when I think about relationships and of course, healthy friendships and relationships. Cause I mean, there's some that are not that great, right? Or maybe need a little bit more effort and that's where it's at. And that's where the status is at on a friendship. So that's what a few things that come to mind.
When it comes to community organizing and activism, this work that really is, you know, justice and peace being the goal, I feel like there's one framework where it's very heavily issue oriented and cause based, that folks who feel like they're called to maybe participate in a particular social movement or speak on an issue because it's relevant in the news cycle in the moment. you know, that feels like maybe that's one kind of framework. And then there's another one that feels maybe something I've been learning more recently that is much more community facing, in that, you know, it's a sense of place. It's a sense of rootedness in a particular location and the relational networks that make up that place that will inform how I choose to spend my time, where I choose to speak, what I choose to speak on. The first framework to me feels a little bit more reactive, right? We wait till the next thing happens and then we choose to speak or to join or to sign this petition, which again isn't to say that's a bad thing. Like for some folks, if that's what their capacity allows for them to do, then great. But then the second does feel, I think, to me a bit more proactive, in that like if it's relationships that's rooting you in this work, if it's relationships that's rooting you in your participation in different spaces, then that's ongoing, right? Like that's, you don't, sometimes we take breaks from friendships if they're unhealthy and if they're toxic, right? Like that's totally fair. But generally relationships are ongoing in a sense. A commitment to another person is ongoing. So I'm wondering as I share that, what comes up for you, you know, pushback, examples that come to your mind, additional thoughts that you have.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is that the common denominator across both of these examples is the people, right? And that's who needs to be at the center of any response or reaction is people. And of course, the preference is that that your relationship to those people is longstanding, right? Because we have multifaceted oppressions and intersecting identities. And so our solutions need to be multifaceted and intersecting. And typically when we look at issue-based work, which as you noted is oftentimes very reactionary, we skip out on honoring the full person and their full experience. And so I would just remind folks that at the core of both of these is people. And the question is, you know, we're looking for transformational. We're no longer looking, you know, like our people deserve transformational work. We are not deserving of transactional and Band-Aid type work.
I think for me, the first thing that came to mind was intention versus impact, right? And that fact that kind of, again, what Roxana shared about the common denominator is people, right? And I feel with that, you know, we set ourselves boundaries, whether that is personal, professional, whatever, we draw lines, right, to whether protect ourselves or move forward in whatever capacity. And so I feel that folks need to be flexible of what path they choose, whether that is being, you know, reactive to something that occurred in the news and, you know, they're gaining momentum in that, or is it someone who is, their impact has been that they have been there at every single meeting, at every community space. And what is the impact of that? And so I feel like it's both. And I think about both, and like I think about capacity. And I think about bandwidth, especially during this time with so much in the news, so many things heightened, and so many organizations trying to be transformative, but also may not have the resources to be there right now. So those were a few of my thoughts that came to mind.
And I think that in a way there's a need for both. I feel like I would be biased more towards saying that there's a need to be people oriented and just to be able to have space with people. And when I think about this, it's like, I think about like, okay, so then who are the people or what are the orgs, institutions that do this? And definitely orgs or people that are only issue oriented or sometimes like just organizing nonprofit. And another place that I think about is like schools. Schools is supposed to be people oriented, and yet they do look at students, but they only look at students when they're an issue for the schools. And so it's like, how come the schools can't be people oriented? And then, so then thinking about like people oriented places, like one place that comes to mind right away is churches. And so churches, you know, being a place where people can come and be together with other people and have relationships, but it's too often too much to that extreme where it's just insulated and nothing happens outside of the church. It's only like, hey, you know, we see you on church, it's good to see you here. But then how often like can folks, like for an example, in a mega church, how often can people actually build relationships with people? And like, and if you don't know what's affecting, you know, members in your community, like in your church, especially families that are low income. And, you know, we know that this is true in mega churches because there's people from all over. And I just think about that, that it's, can either be an extreme to either side. And so there's a need for both. And I think that the focus, yeah, I just think trying to do work that's people oriented primarily. Because if something is happening to your familia, Roxana or Josefina or Michael, it's like, we wouldn't be able to stay quiet and not do anything about it. Because if we do, then it's like, what, you know, like, are we really friends, or are we just, is it just kind of something superficial? So that's what comes to mind.
So, you know, as we continue to reflect on this question of, you know, what makes for peace, and again, this being an ongoing theme that we'll be sitting with, you know, what's being spoken to right now is, you know, relationships that require commitment, investment, accountability. And with that, you know, I keep on going back to something that we were just speaking about, which is, as I'm in relationship with someone else, how I answer that question of what makes for peace in my life, in my community life, in my community's life, that actually gets expanded in relationship with someone else, because I have to also consider what makes for peace in their life. Now, maybe that's different. Maybe things align, but maybe there are differences. And what that requires of us is to have a more robust answer to that question, a bigger dream, if you will. You know, so I'm wondering, as we begin to wrap up, you know, for folks who are interested and who are eager to get involved in different ways in community, maybe that they haven't been before, to get involved with the work that you all are doing that you kind of named earlier, you know, what is your encouragement to folks, you know, as they seek to go out and to become more involved? What is your encouragement to folks?
I think what happens, or at least what I have experienced and have seen sometimes, is just how folks will jump from one issue to the other. And being a person that was brought here from a young age, have the experience of being a DACA student, DACA recipient, living in the country where, you know, they say like, you can do whatever you want and you can be whatever you want, but it's not really true. It's only like the American dream, that it's more like of a golden cage. And I think that, you know, in my experiences where people want to help out and support and be with the community, it often feels like we're just a thing that they're dealing with, like a thing that they're working on, a thing that, you know, they have to save, a community that they have to save. And it's like where we just become a commodity in this organizing space. And it's like a commodity to be able to lift themselves up and be like, look what we did. We organized around this. And so for me, when I think about what makes for peace, I think it's like, what does each person need to be able to feel peace? What does each community need to be able to feel peace? And I think about peace, like in terms of what Roxana has shared, you know, people finding joy, people being able to thrive, like our communities being able to thrive. And so like, I would ask myself, what does a mom living in an alcove that has three kids, works, you know, two jobs, her husband works three jobs or two jobs as well, like, what do they need to be well, to have a sense of peace, to be able to have a sense of that they can thrive, not doing it in the way that's like, okay, I'm here to save you, I'm here to heal your wounds, but rather being with people so that people can save themselves. And I think that that's what, at the end of the day, for me, is like, how does our community that is hurting, the community that I am a part of, how can we really be self-sustainable?
I think about, you know, for folks who are interested in serving their community and are learning, I would offer that you take a really big deep breath and center your own self and know who you are as a person, because our communities don't need any more chaos. They don't need people who to come in to shake them up and to like to offer negative energies or low vibrations. Like our communities are already suffering. We don't need people who are in there who don't have a sense of who they are as a person in relationship to other people. And so what I offer to folks who are really eager to start connecting is to center yourself, to again, take deep breaths, If you are just energetically not feeling good, do not go into communities. Because again, our communities are already struggling, they're already suffering, and we don't need folks who are not centered or who cannot find a center to like go and add to like the chaos and overwhelm that communities are feeling. And so just a deep, the centering of self is to me really important. Because sometimes what I find is that people want to help others or want to save other people because they don't have control of something in their own life. And we don't need people projecting their own trauma onto already traumatized communities. And so that's what I ask of people is just, again, that centering of self, that breathing that is incredibly important to this work. And I think what Cesar said, like, we don't need to be saved. Our communities have the solutions to the problems that we face. We know what the solutions are because we live the problems day in and day out. So we're not asking for to be saved, and we're not asking for charity. And I think that a lot of folks confuse charity with justice, and those two are not the same thing. We need people who are centered, who are grounded, who can bring calm, who can provide peace, who can create and curate spaces and energy that is welcoming and safe for our communities. And also like slowing down. This work is going to be a lifetime work. This isn't like a thing overnight. And so start to prepare yourself. Start to prepare yourself for like, how long do I want to dedicate? You know, like, we don't want you to come in one week and leave. Like, this is a lifetime dedication. And so really ask your question, like, is this what I need to, is this part of my life's work, is to do this as well? So that's what I offer to you.
You need to be ready to lean into tension and discomfort that communities are facing right now. Again, if you're not ready, please take the time to reflect on your own and be aware of how much space you're taking. Again, your presence in any space is impactful, whatever your intention is. And so keep that in mind. And I feel with any community space now, many are virtual, right? So be fully present. You know, I know sometimes having video isn't the best, but you know, be present, make sure you're listening, active listening. And if you are not, you know, not sure what to say, that's okay. And it's okay to ask questions and perhaps unlearn what you've learned a long time ago to help the community you're now part of. Again, we're consistently always learning. I just really want to emphasize that because I feel many times folks are like, oh, I already know this. But again, times change all the time. And sometimes history repeats itself, right? Folks love to share that. And so let's learn from that and continue this growth of community and acknowledgement and meet people where they are at, not where you want them to be. We all have, again, different peace and have that vision of ourselves. And so be mindful of that. I think it's just be mindful and you'll be okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Josefina, Roxanne, and Cesar for joining us. This is a huge gift, and I know our congregation will receive it as that as well. So I think that is all for this morning. Thank you, everyone.